Blog Talk Radio.
Come take a magical journey to the dawn of a new era. Unveil the mysteries behind the curtain with empathic healer Dawn Thompson.
Hello, happy first Wednesday of the month, everyone. Hi, Iggy.
Hi, Dawn, how are you?
Oh, I'm really well. I'm like super calm and grounded and just giving myself permission to rest today.
Good.
Yeah, it's been a super transformative month, and you and I haven't got to connect a lot. I've missed you. I'm excited to catch up and see what spiritually has been moving for you as well.
Absolutely. We'll catch up a lot when we get to Peru. We'll have a great time discovering different parts of the country that I've never discovered. So I'm looking forward to that journey.
Yes. I can't believe how fast that's coming up. That's like, I thought, oh my gosh, it's not till halfway through the year. And then here we are getting it. This is my,
hello.
This is May. This is my birthday month.
Yeah. And it's an exciting time. Exciting time.
Mm-hmm.
Like they say, April showers bring May flowers, right?
Yeah, they do. And my birthday, which each year I'm like, okay, I'm a year older. And I was actually listening to, the big fights that everyone was, oh, there's a fight. It's so exciting. And I'm like, I have to see what's going on with this. So I was listening to this little podcast this thing that was on the radio, and they were talking about being in your prime and how being in your prime has nothing to do with age. This guy's opinion was it has to do with what you've been through in your life and how you've reacted to it and how you've taken care of yourself. And I was like, of course, I would go to listen to a sports thing and it would become spiritual.
Well, I think sports is spiritual, actually, but there's a lot to that. But yeah, I totally get what you're saying.
Sweet. So yeah. Yeah, I had, I feel like since last radio show to this one, there has been a great softening, a great tenderness, and definitely all those flowers and the life force energy coming back. And I don't know about you, but I went like hardcore, like, it's time to take action. The sun's shining, we're alive. And now I'm like settling back like, whew, I exerted a lot of energy.
That's easy to do, that's for sure. Easy to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have something exciting to share. I know that you couldn't make it because you were in New York, but I had a lovely first outdoor ceremony last weekend.
I saw the pictures. They look pretty cool. And you
did
look like
you?
Yeah. There's pictures on Facebook. I don't know if you knew that or not, but where you're going through the meditation or the guiding of the meditation. Everybody's laying on the ground and stuff. So I think that's the one.
Yeah. Well, it was cool. My friend Greg, like, he couldn't find where we were at. I was just like intuitively hoping people would find it. I mean, I gave him some guidance, but then I was like, just following my guidance where the perfect place was. And when we found it, he came in halfway through and yeah, he caught some videos and some tape, but what was really cool about this is, I keep, and I know a lot of people around me, we're feeling our truth. We know what we want to bring into the world, and we've discovered ourselves and gotten really, really real with ourselves, and I've gotten really real with me. And then it's like co-creating with that, so like how to bring in, because it's the age of Aquarius, working with other people, like how do I do that? So I have lots of budding friendships, actually, and one with this girl, Emily, and she's like, I really want to learn more of what you're doing. I was like, well, then let's have a ceremony, maybe like have like five people there, and we'll do the full moon, and we'll release, and so we put a little tiny thing, and I invited 100 people, I think about five would come, and then as the numbers started going up and up and up and up, and it was like near 30, I was like, okay, I better like plan something for this, not just meet with our yoga mats and a stick of incense. And so So it was a neat experience for me personally, because I got to create with other people. And so my my boyfriend Michael, he has taught yoga in the past. So I asked him, and he was super willing. He's like, "Yeah, let's do it." And then
awesome.
Emily brought in plants from her garden, and she did a little mini talk on what each plant, you know, how to bring in that plant's ally spirits, so that they could help with the heart stuff that's been going on. Hearts, you
yes.
know, the bleeding hearts, and my heart is still like I can feel it for the last 3 days. There's something huge going on in there. I'm like trying not to fix it and just let it be, but it's intense in there. But yeah, she brought in the heart medicine and another flower. I can't remember what it was, but it was for forgiveness, which, you know, nothing is more healing for the heart than forgiveness. So yeah, it went really well. And I got to do basically what I do in one-on-one sessions, channel through visualizations for people, that I got to do it for a group. And I met some of the coolest people. You would love them, Nikki. It was like, you live here? You're in Columbus? Come on. Check it out. New people.
It's awesome because, you know, that's kind of how it starts, just little by little. I remember you text me when I was in New York. You know, I was kind of like on the road. I was like, didn't have time to actually sit with you. I'm like, you'll be fine. I was thinking to myself, she'll be fine. She don't need my help.
I know. I was like, what are we? Yes, you did. I was kind of, ego was coming in like, uh-oh. yes.
I wasn't worried about it at all. I knew you'd be fine. And once you start channeling, once you start pulling in that positive energy, you know, you're fine. I've seen you do it before, so. I have faith in you.
Yeah. What's that?
I have faith in you.
Oh, you have faith in me. Thank you, friend. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd say the thing that I would share with listeners that they can do on their own, because we're still at the, you know, we're still a few days out from the full moon meditation, is so the day before I was exhausted. I keep having like, I'm tired, and I am doing a lot, but I was tired. So I went to the Park of Roses and I just laid on the ground and wrapped up in a blanket, and my guides showed me the meditation that they wanted me to do there. But the best part of the meditation was rolling over onto my belly, onto the ground, and just, you know, I just kept seeing the ground as like Mother Earth's bosom, and I was just laying on it. And then she spoke to me and said that, you know, our magnetic fields in our bodies have been off from being indoors for so long, and that the best way to realign it and come back into synchronicity with her, and to feel energized again and supported, was to lay, just full on lay on her. And I did that for like 15 minutes. And when I got up, it was like I had taken a 3-hour nap, even though I thought I didn't know how I was going to get through the rest of the day when I had done that. And that was the feedback that I got after the ceremony, with people were finishing up with finals and, you know, they've been doing a lot too. And they're like, I feel like I am fully, deeply rested. So I'm going to continue to do that practice. Yes.
And those of you who do not know Dawn, she's fun to be around and fun to hang out with. And she has a serious eye.
I do, but I love to play. I love to
That's
play.
Right.
That's why you're one of my good friends. I'm like, let's play. Remember we used to go dancing? Let's play
and
do the worm.
Yeah, we've had good times. We go out to, what was the name of that place? That was Circus. That was a circus club. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I remember that.
Yeah. Now,
we go with Amber and with Jake and yeah, that was a good time. I remember that.
A little bit during the winter, trying to still relive what was, and I'd start talking to you about this, but things have been shifting. It's almost like a whole new chapter. It's kind of like in my life, I feel, and I'm curious if it's happening with you as well, that it's like a halfway through a book, and the chapter, one of the major things I've done, chapters are done, and it's going into a new one. Can you relate to that? Or it feels that way when I connect with you.
Every day feels different for me. You know, usually there's like a routine, a pattern that people usually do. But every day when I wake up, it just feels like, what did I just do? What's going on? You know, you can just tell that there's changes going on around the world, you know, emotionally, physically, and spiritually.
Mhm. And how, yeah. And sustaining that and coming back to being okay with it and letting go. How is that for you?
Letting go and sustaining it. It's hard probably to grasp it because it's changing so fast. So every time you're ready to sustain something, you're kind of evolving into the next whatever is happening. You know, it's kind of like I built a garden. Here, for example, I just created a little garden in my yard. And I finally got the pieces and the parts in it. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, wow, someday you guys are all going to grow up and be bigger plants. You know? You know, and I'm looking at them.
They're very expansive.
Yeah, they're real little. I made a medicine wheel garden. And it's got hummingbird hangers on and everything. And but it has all the culinary things that I like to eat and all the medicinal things that I use, you know, for healing. And they're all so little teeny, but eventually, you know, you could sit there all day and watch and they don't grow. But then you can come back a week or two, 3 days later and everything's changed. And like yesterday was really cool because I got to actually see a hummingbird feed off one of my feeders. And I was just like, yes, my work is done.
Me and Michael felt called to build our first garden. I mean, I've dabbled a little bit, but never had anything successful other than a couple tomatoes. And I like to do the radio show in my spiritual healing room where I do sessions and meditate and do yoga. And I've had my little, greenhouse in here. And I come in every day and I look at the squash and I'm like, whoa, how can you grow? It's not even a week for me. In one day, these plants are like, they're huge. And we've definitely made it a ceremony, and it was a way to connect with the earth and start rebirth. And it was something neat to bond us to, you know. I've never eaten, other than a tomato, I've never really eaten much food that I've grown myself, and I've always had that goal to connect with the earth in that way. And this will be my first year. I'm excited. Yours sounds real fancy. We took apart pallets and then built a raised bed, but we're proud. We're proud.
Yeah. Proud parents, you are. I don't know if it's fancy, but it's just something that I like. That's kind of the way I like to do things sometimes. And trying to figure out where all the plants fit and what direction, what part of the medicine wheel, according to their what they do, like, you know, putting mint in the north for the respiratory system and things like that. You know, it gets a little elaborate, but yeah, it's fun to actually be able to go in there. And then I have a raised bed in the back towards by the apple tree, and it has like broccoli and Swiss chard and carrots and let's see what else, celery, and it's going to have tomato plants in there too. And I got my Native American tobacco in the medicine wheel. So it's kind of fun. I'm excited to watch all this things grow this year.
Yeah, it's neat how we're on this. We seem to have correlating paths.
Yeah.
And gardening's one of them, for sure. I thought it might be cool if, you know, if the listeners knew a little bit more about me. Sometimes I assume that people just know, like, who I am. But I had come to you and said it might be cool to do, like, a little mini fun interview. It might be fun. We might laugh. Who knows what will come out. But did you come up with any, or did you get my,
Well, let's start with that. I mean, that's a good way to start in. Who is Don Thompson? Why don't we share that? How do you perceive yourself, I guess, is the best way to ask you that question.
Whoa. That's heavy. How do you perceive yourself? I'm about to find out about myself, too. Okay.
What do you tell the world?
That is the coolest question anyone's asked me. Well, that is something that I'm actually striving for every day, because I really resonate with finding out, you know, who I am and what I'm here to do rather than what my experiences have been and what mm-hmm. I'm told I am by the media. But I would say, and this, when I tap into myself right now, that I'm someone, like many people, who doesn't know how powerful she is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm someone who's still letting go of trauma so that I can fully help others, which is kind of like the wounded healer. But I came from the country. I came from a little town where I got to connect with the earth a lot, actually, 62 mm-hmm. acres. We had a pond and a campground, woods, and I would just go out into the forest. And if you would have asked me when I was little, I truly believed that I was the queen of the tree fairies. So they must exist somewhere, because I just remember thinking that as I'm walking among the trees, like, oh, it feels good to be the queen of the fairies of the trees. And I would pretend and play and talk to the animals. And I didn't have, you know, we didn't live near town, so I didn't have very many friends. And it was okay. It was normal. And we didn't have internet. We didn't have cable. So, you know, I really felt very comfortable in nature, and I was very surprised when I left the country and moved to the city, the abrasiveness of it. Actually still feel that way. But if I was to write my name in the dictionary of people and then open it up, it would say someone who wants to make a difference and wants to connect and truly wants to love myself fully, follow my passion, and find this tenderness for myself that I have for other people, because I really have this genuine tenderness and love for other people, and that's mm-hmm. kind of my goal, is to find that for myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you find yourself to be like the crazy Catwoman, but you kind of bring in the crazy people?
You know what's weird is that I felt lately as if I might be crazy, and then I'm like, this might be a good thing. Maybe my brain can let go. But,
mm-hmm.
well, I think that I used to attract more people that are really wounded or really, you know, detached or boundary, people that would push on my boundaries. That's been a huge mm-hmm. theme in my life, is victimization. So I started out, you know, in a victim role, which I've been studying a lot about manifesting our own reality, even as a small child, and bringing in those vibes and how it comes from, you know, our parents. We get that energy from our parents in the womb, and then, mm-hmm. you know, or maybe past lives, and we bring it in. So whatever vibration I came with, it was definitely loneliness and victimization. So I carried that around for a long time, even up until, I remember like early 20s. Yeah, the craziest people. It's like they'd see me and they'd come right up to me and I'd be so scared. I remember riding on the bus when I first started college at Columbus State, and this lady looking at me and she's like, I should bite your nose off. And I was like, why? Why do you see me? Why are you? And so what ended up happening is I did some really cool practices on boundaries and getting out of victimization into survivalism, then now switching into thriving, what I call thrivalism.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I don't. Now it's cool. Me and Michael were eating tacos on campus the other day, and this lady who seemed very much disturbed, and, you know, she was yelling and asking people for money and then, like, yelling at them when they wouldn't give it to us. Her energy was very wonky, and I saw her coming, and I remember the practices that I had taken where you stand really firm. I put up an energetic power shield, and I'm just like, no, it's not okay to even engage with me. Like, I don't even want that energy near mm-hmm. me. And so that's a cool thing that has moved past, is that I no longer attract that in. But I do still attract in people that that are very, um, what what I want to say. I've noticed that this month that are very much in their own world, in their own mind, self-centered, which tells me that there's a small part of that, you know, still living in me to look at. So that's come into my awareness this recently.
So do you consider yourself still being a wounded healer, or somebody who works with wounded other, you know, people who, I mean, we kind of covered that in what you were saying, but do you still see yourself that way?
It's like a cusp. It's kind of like I have my feet in, both spaces with that. So I do know in my heart that when I go to Peru next month, that there's going to be this huge realization, this huge release. And I do believe after like 15 years of working on my own traumas and my own wounding, that, you know, that it's never done. Like I'll never be like, I'm fully healed. But at the same time, and I've seen it with one of my favorite teachers, she had been through a lot. The same one that taught me the somatic boundary work. She will witness people who are purging the most intense of all sufferings, and she stays so firm and grounded in it. And I see myself already being able to do that some, but I'm not quite to the point where, so I am still the wounded healer. And there are times when I get triggered by other people's stuff, but it's like been this cool, gradual place where I don't take on, you know, the empathy as much, and I'm sinking more into the compassion, which is the witnessing it and going, I know that space. I'm not living in it anymore, but I have lived it, so let me help you walk through it where you need to go next. And so that is it's definitely I'm in both spaces and can go to both, but tend to go more towards the compassion, and most of all because I'm learning self-empathy, which I don't know if you know about this, but I just completed my 6-week class, which I talk about all the time because it was awesome, on the nonviolent communication. And one of the classes was about self-empathy. And what I realized I do as a healer is that when someone's in the space and they're letting stuff come up and we're channeling in messages of what's going on with them, and as they start to feel their body, I immediately step into their world fully. And the self-empathy message was about making sure I check in with me, too. Like, how do I feel about this? Where am I at? Where am I at right now? So that there's this really cool, so we're not enmeshed, so that I'm really standing firm in who I am. And that was a cool realization. So I think that's something that's helping me step out of being triggered as a healer.
So you're the healed healer as well, or healing healer.
Yeah. Sometimes when I'm in meditation or prayer, I ask, you know, allow my stories to go into the Akashic Records, which I met this guy in meditation healing work that I work with called, and I call him Father Time. He looks like a wizard, Gandalf the wizard. And he's really funny. He tells me lots of cool stuff. Half the time I don't remember it when I come out. But, you know, I'm like, why don't you hold this stuff, these stories for me, so I can open the book and access them if I need them. But like reading a book or watching a movie, I don't want to live in that space anymore. And the biggest tool to not live in the wounding is mindfulness or being in the super present, because there isn't much suffering, I guess if you stub your toe or something, but there isn't too much suffering usually in the moment, right? I've spent a lot of years thinking about the past when I'm sitting in a cushy chair, you know, talking to awesome people, but I hadn't quite gave that story over yet. I wasn't ready to release victimization. And part of that was because I was afraid of how powerful I really am, and if that would scare people. Not saying I'm the only one that's powerful. I think every one of us is super powerful.
Oh, everybody. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I've dabbled in it. You know, as a child, I would stand out. In that small town, I would do cartwheels when everyone else was standing in line, and they would look at me, and they would be like, what is wrong with you? I still do it. I will sing at every opportune moment that I can. And that's freedom. That's my truth. And it still can be like, you know, whoa, what's going on with her? So I learned to stifle that some. It's back.
So as a little child, you were more like just doing your thing in your own world and exploring things that other people maybe saw but didn't really pay attention to. I mean, so you were very intuitive as a child, I'm guessing then.
I know that I was very empathic, and I remember scary spirits coming to me. I don't remember any loving or beautiful. And, you know, the more I reflect on my childhood and after all the work I did, it comes down to polarity, or the fact that you can't know something until you know its opposite. And I got to know, such loneliness and darkness, and then feeling all the suffering of, like, the people around me. And I learned a big tool, the nature tool, of going out into nature and, like, soaking that up, and that became a good resource. But ultimately, I was really, really alone. And so I shut off as much as I could, really. Like, I became detached. And I've, you know, in my late 20s, and, you know, early 30s, I really retrieved a lot of soul parts of me. And it's like, come back in. It's safe now. I'm here. I'm holding space for you.
Good, good, good. Let's take a really quick break, and then so you catch your breath and get your mindset back on track. We'll continue our interview with Dawn Thompson on her show.
Woo-hoo!
The Gypsy Wagon Hour. So let me pull up the commercial break.
Commercial break!
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com, your free online resource for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. With Insights Radio is a listener-supported radio station, and your donations are greatly appreciated. We cover a variety of topics, interviews surrounding the metaphysical and holistic and natural medicine, alternative healing modalities, and much more. Thank you for tuning in to WithInsightsRadio.com. You're listening to the Gypsy Wagon Hour with Dawn of a New Era, Dawn Thompson.
Hey.
All right, we'll continue the interview with you, Dawn, and keep moving along the spiritual path you're on. I mean, so we all come to this conversion point at some time in our lives, and we are either awakened by an event or by a person or a teacher or anything. Do you have anything that you can share with us that happened to you in that aha moment when you said, wow, this is what I want to do. You know, maybe I want to see what this is, you know. Do you remember that?
Ooh, I feel like I've gotten to have a few of those. Lucky me. Really, really I have. I know it was, for me, it was the somatic experiencing. Because for years I've been in my mind, you know what I mean? Like, as a kid, I'd be like, all right, my stepmom seems really, really angry. Like, I don't know what's going to happen today. I don't know if I'm going to be safe. So I had to get in my mind to figure everything out. Or, like, at school, you know, like, what are all these people talking about? I don't even know. Did they get a book of what all's going on in the world and how to talk to people? Because I have no idea. I just want to dance and play. So then when I started therapy, when I was 18, it was all about the mind, so figuring things out, and it didn't seem to bring relief. I was still, I had very severe panic attacks. I was a cutter. I cut myself. I mean, I was very much in the darkest, darkest place. So what came in for me was when I had, is when I started seeing a somatic trauma resolution practitioner. It's a very large name. And what she did, I was like, you're a what? And all my friends were seeing her, all the cool chicks I knew. They're like, yeah, I see the somatic trauma resolution practitioner. I'm like, well, sign me up. I love trying everything at least once. So it was really frustrating at first when I went, you know, when I would talk about something that was living in me or going on with me, and then she'd be like, now feel that, like, where's that at in your body? And I'd be like, my body? I don't even feel my body. Like, it felt like it was floating. I had dissociated
wow.
so much through all my life to survive, to dip out. And so I did 5 years of that, and then I met Suzanne Roberts and started doing the where you embody it, move your body. You not only feel your body, but you move it too. And that changed everything. That was actually the time when, you know, I stopped attracting in victim stuff. And then so that became my passion. And then I adapted it with my guides to bringing in the four elements and music and different breathing practices that I've developed for working with others. So I took that, as many people have done, with somatic body healing, and made, you know, my own spin on it. It continues to grow, and it's very exciting. Yeah, so that's the thing. That's my jam. That's what I'm the most passionate about, is like the intelligence that lives in our body, because our body is always in real time. Like, our mind, it's like, what's going to happen next? Or, shit, I remember when that happened, that was hard, or that was fun. But our body is like, I'm here now. I'll give you an example. Yeah. I was at the eye doctor's last week, and I knew. They put me in, you know, they said, put your face up to this little machine. And I knew in my head, because they told me, that a little poof of air was going to poof in my eyeball. So, you know, my brain should go, it's going to poof. So you don't need to jump. It's not going to hurt you. You know that intellectually. But every daggone time, I would jump and close my eyes. I'm like, okay, we got to do it again. You got to keep your eye open. And then to coin off that, you know, part of that is that not only it does live in real time, but it also does hold things from you know, stories as well. It does hold stories, and the best place to release, you know, something, especially that happened in a past life, not just this one, but I've noticed a lot of times things we've been going through, we've been replaying it out in different ways forever. So someone comes in with, you know, this has happened a couple of times, they come with arthritis in the wrist or tennis mm-hmm. elbow. And you know, they've been going to doctors, they've been doing physical therapy, it's not getting better, what the heck's going on? Well, it could take maybe 5-10 minutes of holding that space and going to a timeless realm and opening up that energetic field. And then if they go and be present with their wrist and be like, mm-hmm. what's the story, wrist? What you got going on? And it'll say maybe like, well, I've absorbed all the stuff from your patients, and it's stuck in here, and I'm a genius mm-hmm. body who is keeping it from spreading throughout your body, so it's collecting. And then we go, well, what do you need, wrist? What do you need to feel better? And it might say, ocean water. And then you feel this, you bring it in energetically, and boop, it's like, it's gone. It just, our bodies have the most miraculous instantaneous healing abilities. It's really cool. And then the mind gets the freedom from it, you know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, where we trap energies in our body and we just totally become incapacitated to some level. And I like what you said, that how it doesn't, I'm just going to hold it right here, I'm not going to let it spread. I don't think I've ever heard it like that, said like that, so that's pretty, I found that really fascinating. I was like, wow, that hit something inside me, something in Iggy.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that. I might have heard it 100 times, but you know, it takes a certain messenger to say certain messages sometimes. So I heard that. Mm-hmm. I heard that today.
That's my biggest teacher, is really working with people in sessions, and then they teach me about their bodies. I'm like, well, what,
mm-hmm.
what, you know, why do you have this belly, you know, trauma? Why is your breath restricted? And then the body, it's so willing to tell us. It's like a little child that's been illness. It's a little child screaming at us, and a kid's going to keep screaming until you give it attention, until you get down on its level and say, hey, hey, I see you're upset. Is there something you want to tell me? And what do you need? And I've found that the body's the same way. And it'll scream, and then it's like, hey, guess what? I just need this.
I mean, and you made a great valid point earlier that you said that it was, our bodies are in real time. Like, they're in the present, you know, and our minds can drift off into La La Land or wherever it needs to go and just totally forget about the body. You know, but the body never really forgets about you. You know, it's there and it's always waiting, and it's like a loyal dog, I guess, or cat, you know, showing its unconditional love to you. So then when you come back, then you're going, wow, that hurts. Well, I feel that now. You know, we block off so much stuff in our bodies, and that's one of the things. I see that a lot in the work I do. And I see that in my family with people. They're so trapped. They've trapped themselves in their shell, their temple, and they don't realize it's a sacred temple. You know, the body is just as sacred as the spiritual aspects they're trying to awaken in themselves.
Yeah, it's our five senses. It's our place where we get to experience the world. And I don't know. I guess our mind and ego. I start a lot of sessions, like in the last year, by even brand new people that I don't know that might not even be super into, you know, they think they're coming for a quote unquote psychic reading. and then like, you know, once I have them at the chair, I'm like, well, that's really not what's going to happen here. But if you want to know your future, you did not come to the right person. But because I believe you have the power to manifest your own future. But I definitely usually say, hey, why don't we ask our human, our ego, fear, you know, that place in us that keeps us safe. I mean, I get it. It keeps us from jumping off a cliff or, you know, whatever. But I go, why don't we ask it to take a seat beside us, and then we drop in our higher selves? Because, I mean, to be honest, I still battle. I don't know about you, but I still, not battle, but I'm still trying to make friends with that place. I have had momentary times where, say, I'll be doing yoga and it'll pop in like, you haven't hung out with your boyfriend very much, what if he doesn't like you as much, blah 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 blah, or something, some kind of silly like ego fear comes in, or it could be anything, like, oh, are you gonna have enough money for this, or blah blah blah. And there's been times now where I get to go, hey, like, it's a friend of mine, you know, oh, hey, ego, how's it going? Thanks for keeping me safe. Thank you. But I'm not really concerned about that. But thanks. Hey, I see you. And then, like, witness it rather than play into those fears. But more often than not, I'm like, oh, my gosh, mind, will you stop trying to keep me safe? I'm fine.
Yeah, because you can never have enough blah, blah, blah.
Jeez, I've had enough blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah. I like that.
Blah, 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 blah. That's my play, so important, I think, because when you're playing, the blah, blah, blah stops. I'm so grateful for having a 9-year-old daughter.
yeah, I totally get what you're saying. My 9-year-olds are gone. They're all 20. It's nice to see Dante's little boys that he's helping raise in our house sometimes, because they show me how to play. But they also, you know, they also bring out a part of me that is not very playful too. I was watching that yesterday when they were like, wanted to help me in the garden, and I was going, no, I don't want your help. I'm just like, I don't know why I was like that with them. I was just like, my garden, you're not touching it.
yes, they do. They can trigger too. That's for sure.
Oh my God.
They're so wildish. It's like, where'd that wildish nature come from? No boundaries.
I was just like, I don't know why. I was like, they said, Iggy, can we give you a hand? Because I'm like, no. I was
like, don't touch my garden.
And they're like, okay, we just want to make sure you need to. I'm like, because I knew there was just, it would have been like 2 seconds and they would have been gone. But I have to let them help me before. But yesterday was just weird. Yesterday was just, I was in my own little world, my own little mind. And the thing that snapped me out of it, I think, was the hummingbird when it came to feed. And because it's about joy and being playful and stuff. But yeah, I was a brat yesterday.
Okay, I am glad you're saying this because I was too. And I mean, I threw a fit alongside my daughter last night, like a little, and I knew, I could sense, my extrasensory perception knew that there was some kind of like tinger of some kind of surge of energy, but the way it came up, and we had just switched over internet providers, and normally our routine is like, you know, my daughter will watch a cartoon before we read stories and go to bed, and I have a moment to relax after doing stuff all day, and it wasn't working because the internet wasn't working. And she started crying, and I started stomping, and she goes, I just want to relax. And I go, I do too. We were like small children together yesterday.
I don't know. It was just funny. I walked into the house, and they were watching TV in there, you know, Susie and her mom. They were watching some 19 and counting, this family that's married, has 19 kids. And I'm going, what are you guys doing watching TV? So we could go outside and we can work on the garden together if you like. And they're like, nah. I'm like, then they came out and they tried to like make up for, you know, being rude, I guess. I was like, I don't want you in my garden. Get out. Go away. My garden, you know. This is the only peace of mind I have in this whole house. That's kind of how I felt.
Yeah, no doubt.
So I know what you mean. I felt like I was abducted by aliens and taken away and brought back, and they brought me to the wrong house sometimes. I guess that leads us right into our next question. Do you believe in extraterrestrial life?
Ooh, interesting you ask. No.
And you know what? And we're not talking about Mark Matheny, our guest from Down the Rabbit Hole. We all know he's an alien.
He's a big advocate, I mean, I didn't believe for a long time. I was like, it's not that I didn't believe. It's that I didn't care. I mean, it just wasn't in my spectrum of awareness, you know. I'm like, well, if there is, what is, you know, they're not really affecting me. But I definitely do now, and I had the most amazing experience with about three other people. I think it was 2010 at the Serpent Mound. Did I ever tell you about that?
2010?
I did.
You might have.
I think it's 2000. Yeah.
But the healer, but you know, our guests don't know about 2010, so go ahead, share.
Well, 2010 was a pivotal year for me and a lot. I started attracting in friends where we're like, we're at the end of the 25,000 and the 2,000 year cycle, and everybody was getting really pumped up about it. And we had heard that the Serpent Mound had tons of cool energies about it, and that it could upgrade our DNA, which, you know, the scientists believe that we have a bunch of quote-unquote junk DNA in us, but, you know, after research and meditation, I think it can be activated, and that's how a lot of these extra sensory gifts that a lot of people are awakening up to are happening. So we just thought it would be fun. We didn't have a plan. We brought some tobacco, and we were going to offer it, and but we got there. We didn't know how long it took, and we got there right near dark, so right after dusk, and mysteriously the gates were open at the Serpent Mound, and so we're like, well, okay, well, let's go on in. So we went in, and I heard right away when we stepped up, right up to the tip of the tail of the serpent, and he said, and I heard this booming voice in my mind that said, you will honor this. You will honor. And I was like, okay, guys, we really need to, you know, make an offering. And so we did. And really our intention was just to go, you know, meditate by it and see what happens. So we had asked if we could, you know, go along it. And then we walked very mindfully. And then we did go sit right in the egg to meditate. We were rebels. probably not supposed to, but we did offer, whether or not it was, you know, that's what we did. And we were kind of like two of us in the front, two of us in the back, and we're meditating, and we open our eyes, and around the circle we see, and that year I had quite the vision, me and my friend Kelly both saw spirits, tons of them, the outlines of them, different cultures, different sizes. There were children. I still remember this really cool chief guy. And my friend whispers to me, do you see all these people that just came in? I was like, uh-huh, I see them. And then we were two guys as well who didn't see anything, but they're like, wow, it feels so cool out here. And then we look up at the sky and we see stars, but they're moving. They're moving. So we'd see like three going in a row. Then we'd see a star that was slowly moving, and then it would squiggle and then go back in place. And then, so me and Kelly, we're just looking up and looking at each other like, oh my, is this happening? What happens is, I imagine it's like when the Native Americans saw the pioneers coming over, when they thought that the ships were clouds, because it was kind of like, my eyes can't understand this, especially when there was about 20, 25 of them up above us, but very far. So then my other friend, Jonathan, he says, guys, there's a star that's moving. And at the same time we go, I don't think that's a star. And then from behind, you know, at that time, then we're looking all around us. There was a huge, huge bulb of light. I mean, it almost looked like a sun coming towards us. But again, very slowly, but it was very large. And we're like, is that the mothership? What's going to happen? So we spent, and I remember the air becoming really thin. Like it was. You don't think of air as being really thick as you breathe in, but it became thinner, a little harder to breathe. So now, afterwards reflecting, I understand that we had switched dimensional fields to be able to see all this. And so, we enjoyed it for a while. We thought we were there for, you know, maybe 2 hours, and we weren't going to stop. I was getting nervous. I was getting nervous about the big ship that seemed to be coming to land around there.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden we hear a crunching, a large crunching in the woods. And it's obviously large feet of a large animal or being. Later my guides told me it's underground species that lives around there in the caverns, protectors there. And they had, and all of a sudden there was a loud war cry. It was a mix between like a dolphin and just a very savage war or a warning cry out. And it was like, yeah. I mean, it very much sounded part animal, part human. So we all got up. And I was like, it's time to go. One of our friends tried to run towards that sound, which is ridiculous. But the rest of us was like, he's the curious one. He's like the playful one that was like, I want to see what that is. Let's discover life. And
Flipper meets Chewbacca.
It sounded like a Chewbacca. I was like, what? And so we got up, and it started raining, which is crazy because the sky was clear. So this rain came down. We knew it was time to go at that point when the rain and after the warning cry. And then it was like, shoom, after the rain is what changed the dimensions over. I believe the sounds came back. So we didn't realize it while we were in it, but it had only been 15 minutes. We thought we were there for a couple hours. The air got thick again, so it was easier to breathe. And then, we were able we just ran. After that, we ran. We're like, okay, it's time to go. We've seen what we need to see. So, and I remember there wasn't many people I could talk to about it. They did end up putting in my right shoulder a little tracking device, which my friend Maggie later was like, do you want to remove that? And I'm like, nah, it's cool. It was just kind of like this little thing I could feel on my shoulder, and you know, they were just curious about me. But later we energetically removed that. But yeah, we got in the car, we ran to the car, and we're like, did you see that? Was that real? I mean, it was still hard, and there was no one I could really tell about it. And I, you know, I've been, your whole life's different after an experience like that. So we go to, you know, I'm going to do hair at Lucky 13 afterwards, and I'm doing the scientist hair, and I'm like, do you think there's extraterrestrial life? You know, all I want to do is talk to everyone about this right afterwards. And he's like, well, it's absolutely, it's mathematically improbable that there isn't. He's like, if you look at every star that you can see, there is a planetary system around that. Like, there's definitely stuff going on. So I wonder what they're doing and what they're about, you know? I just watched the documentary Thrive, which a lot of the NASA and government officials have claimed that, you know, we've seen them come and turn off nuclear bombs. So they're definitely, I feel like they're definitely working, looking out for us, and some, you know.
Well, I think they have a radio show. They have a radio show on another planet called Within Sights on Nebula 3. And then they're having the same conversation. They're going, I wonder what's going on that planet Earth over there, you know, since we have the technology to see it. Oh, look, there's a black-haired woman and a short, chubby guy. Looks like a panda. And look, there's a rabbit guy listening to the show. So I don't know. I find it very fascinating.
Me too.
It's awesome.
It was a cool experience, for sure.
So would you go? If they say, you have an invitation to go and travel the galaxy with us.
I would definitely visit, though I do believe that the majority, it's really about jumping in and out of dimensions. They're like, but I, you know, I'm definitely, I wouldn't go to stay very long, because I'm definitely called here to work on the, you know, the heart evolution here. So, but I might, it depends. I would go with my intuition and my body's reaction in the moment. I would stop and they're like, come with me. And I go, all right, how's my stomach feel if I decide to make decisions? If I imagine myself going with them, does it feel exciting and fun? Or is it like, hell no, they're going to, this is not
the
right
species. Stick
the finger up your butt. Yeah.
No butt probing.
You would go. I know you
would,
wouldn't you?
I would go. Yes, I would go. And I would probably never come back. But I would go.
Yeah.
I would go and discover and go out to the universe. Shoot, I put my application in to go to Mars, you know, like last year.
Did you?
It got rejected because they picked, I think, 100 people already that they're going to go, who they're going to sift through. But yeah, I did. I put an application in.
That's awesome.
You'd have to live in the desert for like 8 years before you could do anything, and then they train you and all kinds of crazy stuff and see if you don't go crazy before living isolated from society. But I would go. I mean, if they would call, if they knock on my door right now, they go, would you like to go to Mars, Mr. Garcia? I said, yes, let me get my bags. You don't need no bags, because what you're going to wear is the same thing forever and ever and ever.
My. Yeah, no way. I'm not that brave. I love adventure, but it's got to be calculated.
I would be the first shaman on Mars, but hey, I would enjoy that.
That's so awesome. Hey.
But it's a one-way ticket. You don't come back.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, no way. That's intense. That's pretty amazing, actually, that you want adventure and seek adventure that much that you would do it. That's really cool.
Well, you know me long enough. I'm willing to try something at least once, you know. And as long as it doesn't keep me vertical. But yeah, it's that would be an interesting trip, you know. I've always been fascinated by Star Trek and Star Wars and other worlds. But, you know, when you look around, you know, it's really all very isolated. You know, when you look at Star Trek, it's isolated. You know, they're in a spaceship. You look at Star
Cold
Wars.
Cold and ice. Yeah. That's the part I don't like. That's actually, when I think about leaving Earth, I'm like, but it's so warm and lush. And
yeah.
I would be the girl who goes crazy, probably on the third day.
Take her back. We can't go back. Drop her off here.
Awesome. Well, what time is it?
Closing thoughts? I mean, we're getting close to that magical hour there.
Oh, geez, that went fast. Okay.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun. I love, love, love talking with you and sharing and
I do too.
Talking about
it.
Our passions, imagination. So closing thoughts. I definitely wanted to, I try to do a mini reading for each show as well. And there's a lot of, the card that I pulled was passion. And it's interesting because she is surrounded by all this lush green and all this forest and the river and animals. And she's all about being in your passion. And the message that I got from my guides for everyone was about watch what you're ingesting, not just food. Though we were talking about, you know, growing more beautiful foods, but also our friends, our family, like who we're around, what we're mm-hmm. talking about, the entertainment that we're witnessing. It's imperative right now for building this new paradigm. We're really fragile and tender right now that we look at and ingest and surround ourselves with what resonates with us.
Beautiful.
Yeah. As well
That's
as
true.
Less talking. Yeah. Believe it or not, less talking. Like you might notice we talked about loss before and people leaving. The talking, you know, only saying something when it really lives in us and then spending those moments to be quiet with our passions and with nature. That was definitely a theme today with nature.
Yes, absolutely. And nature is always the re-energizer for me. I can go back to her and when I'm feeling like crap, even when I'm feeling good, which is the re-energizer.
Mm-hmm. Lay your belly on the ground. Everybody go out, lay your belly on the ground and soak up that magnetic field.
That's true. Perfect.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
I guess that's a wrap for this month with the Gypsy Wagon and with you and me. I appreciate you letting me interview you. That was fun.
That was fun. I appreciate your awesome creative questions. And hopefully next month I have my wagon. I'm going to manifest. Everyone visualize the wagon.
Oh, I see it. You'll have it. Knowing you, I mean, the things that you do and the things you've done, you'll have a wagon. Hey, come guys, look at my wagon. Where is it?
It's going off to space.
Yeah. Sounds good. Well, enjoy the rest of your week, Don, and we'll see each other next time, and we'll connect when we connect, like
awesome.
We always do.
Thank you. Yes. Blessings to everyone.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Listening to the Gypsy Wagon Hour with Dawn of the New Era. I'm producer Iggy with InsidesRadio.com. If you have any questions about our programming and our show, please send us a message at InsidesRadio.com. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.